सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति।
We'll chant chapter 2, verses 62 to 66.
This is all.
Yeah, yeah. Verses. Page 141, 62 to 63. I'm sorry, 66.
ध्यायतो विषयान् पुंसः ध्यायतो विषयान् पुंसः संगस्तेषु उपजायते संगात् संजायते कामः कामाक्रोधोद्विजायते। ध्यायतो विषयान् पुंसः संगस्तेषु उपजायते संगात् संजायते कामः कामाक्रोधोद्विजायते। क्रोधाद्भवति सम्मोहः सम्मोहात् स्मृतिविभ्रमः स्मृतिभ्रंशाद्बुद्धिनाशः बुद्धिनाशात् प्रणश्यति। क्रोधाद्भवति सम्मोहः सम्मोहात् स्मृतिविभ्रमः स्मृतिभ्रंशाद्बुद्धिनाशः बुद्धिनाशात् प्रणश्यति। रागद्वेषवियुक्तैस्तु विषयानिन्द्रियैश्चरन् आत्मवश्यैर्विधेयात्मा प्रसादमधिगच्छति। रागद्वेषवियुक्तैस्तु विषयानिन्द्रियैश्चरन् आत्मवश्यैर्विधेयात्मा प्रसादमधिगच्छति। प्रसादे सर्वदुःखानां हानिरस्योपजायते। प्रसन्नचेतसो ह्याशुः बुद्धिपर्यवतिष्ठते। प्रसादे सर्वदुःखानां हानिरस्योपजायते। प्रसन्नचेतसो ह्याशुः बुद्धिपर्यवतिष्ठते। नास्ति बुद्धिरयुक्तस्य नचायुक्तस्य भावना नचाभावयतः शान्तिः। अशान्तस्य कुतः सुखम्। नास्ति बुद्धिरयुक्तस्य नचायुक्तस्य भावना नचाभावयतः शान्तिः अशान्तस्य कुतः सुखम्।
Verses 62 and 63, which we saw last week, Lord Krishna talks about the ladder of form. And in 64, he talks about how to climb. So 62 and 63 are very, very important verses. Before 62 and 63, he emphasized the importance of sense control. He said, one who is sense controlled, self-controlled, is tatapragya. So in 62, he started off by saying, how does a person fall? How does a human being fall? Ladder of fall. We call it as ladder of fall. He said, dhyayato vishayan pumsaha. Everything starts off with vishaya dhyanam, extrovertedness, seeking extrovertedly. When your mind has gone into the external world, when your senses have functioned as an exit gate rather than just a mere entry gate. Like I told you, senses are nothing but a window or a gate through which one can enter or one can exit. The world enters in the case of a jnani. He doesn't get exited through that into the world. In the case of an ajnani, the world is there outside, the stimuli enters and he also goes with the stimuli outside into the world. So this is what he means by Vishaya Dhyanam, Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsaha. So, once you left the senses, entered the world, then what happens? Chintana started. Attachment has formed. Sangha has come. Sangasteshu Pajayate. Attachment. Sangha Sanjayate Kamaha. Desire. From attachment comes desire. From desire comes anger. Kamat Krodot Vijayate. Krodha Bhavati Sammohaha. Moha comes from any obstruction. When desire is obstructed, then the anger is coming. Anger is nothing but obstruction of a desire. Right? And when anything is obstructed, then the moha comes. When the desire has been left to take its course, the river is flowing. When the river flows, there is no obstacle, let us say. If there is no obstacle, then there is no disturbance. There is no more inclination to somehow get to the object of the desire. So when your desire is obstructed, then comes moha. And when you are in moha, in delusion, you lose memory. Moha bhavati sammoha smriti vibramaha. Smriti bramsha buddhi nasha. Memory is gone. You do not know what you are doing, what you are saying, what you are climbing, what you are using, what methodology you are using. You just have to get there. And then sammohat smriti vibramaha smriti bramshat buddhinashah. Buddhinashat pranashyati. When buddhi is lost, everything is lost. Now how did this whole thing start? The whole thing started when you exited the gate into the world. In other words, you see an object. You think, what is wrong in it? Nothing wrong. But after having seen an object or a being, a thought in you comes, beautiful. The moment you say beautiful, you think, what is wrong? I'm just appreciating the beauty. But deep inside, because it is so subtle level, it's happening. A lot of us only see it when it happens at the surface level. Only Jnani is able to see it when it is happening at the subtle level. Like Krishna says later on in the 11th chapter, he says, they are already killed. So this has been interpreted as destiny. It is not destiny. The way a person is functioning, you can see this guy is going towards destructive path. He is proceeding in the destructive path. And Jnani is able to see it. People who are involved, they are not able to see it. Do you understand? Are you with me? So the point is, when you say beautiful, it is just a person, it is just an object. The moment you say it's a simple appreciation, but what has happened is, your mind is mixed with the object. If your mind is not mixed with the object, it is neither beautiful nor not beautiful. It is just what it is. That's why they say beauty lies in the eye of the beholder. A person looks not so attractive to you, but very attractive to another. What has actually happened there is, he has projected his mind over the object. Object is the same. Are you with me? See, when you see a movie, you see the movie on the screen. But there is no movie on the screen. It is being projected from behind you. Similarly, the beauty that you are seeing in the other person is actually your mind. You understand? It is very deep. So the moment you said that means your vasana has mixed with the object. You have already gone out. It is so subtle that all of us don't see it. We miss it. But it is happening. It is easier to deal with a seed than with a tree. To cut a huge grown tree is so difficult, but a small seed can be thrown away. But the difficulty here is to see it when it is in the seed form. So Krishna is trying to tell us, it is starting within you in the seed form. In the beginning, the moment your thoughts went out. And a person who is so much extroverted and so involved in the external world, he seldom sees his inside. That is one of the reasons why the practice of Maunam is being spoken about in the spiritual field. But like I said, a lot of people in the name of Maunam play defender. You might as well speak of, you know, because they say, what is this? This is not Maunam. Listen, might as well speak. It is basically inside you. So he says, Dhyayato Vishayan Punsa. Then comes attachment. It's a little more difficult to deal with attachment, but it is easier compared to desire. Then if you continue further, then it becomes desire. Now desire means I must possess it. So your thoughts are running from you to the object or the being externally. Now it's a beautiful a setup thought flow now. It's going. It is not just trickles, but it's flowing now. From you to the object. Like a river flowing, thoughts are flowing from you to the object. Then some obstruction comes, and there will always be obstructions. Because everybody has thought flow. Right? Everybody has their likes and dislikes. It's not just you who lives in this world. There are so many people who live in this world. So just like how you have projected beauty upon an object or a being, there are other people who have projected their beauty upon a particular object or being, the same object it happens to be, then they become your obstructions. The father is an obstruction, the mother is an obstruction, brother is an obstruction, because they are coming in my way of getting the object. Right? I go to the showroom, I have chosen a particular car. And the same car, somebody else has gone, and last minute it so happened that they did something and he has booked it. You are denied. Now what happens? Obstruction. So many people are definitely projecting their beauty upon the object on which you have also projected the beauty, right? So they become your obstacle. Or the very person to whom you are showering love, or the so-called love, desire, that person is not interested in you. Then the very same person becomes your obstruction. So to the same person on whom you had desire, now you are showing anger. Are you with me? So what is anger? Anger is nothing but desire interrupted. When the desire flows and there is an interruption, then anger rises. And the moment there is obstruction, then there is moha. In denial, moha becomes much more than in the contact. When somebody contacts, they're done with it, their mind is free. But if you deny them, keep it secret, not show them, not expose to them, leave it behind, hide it, then there is more and more interest, curiosity. You understand? This is what happens. In a society which is hiding things, which is denying, there is more moha. Is it true or not? You've seen it all. You've experienced it all. You've gone through it. You've got the object of your desire. Moha goes. The moha the person had before marriage is not the same after marriage. And that moha also differs from ancient time to now. Because there is courtship even before marriage nowadays. You are not even allowed to see the girl or the boy. You understand? And it was, there are so many other restrictions. So the moha was much more. Now the moha is much less. Like I think it's Lord Byron who said, or somebody else, I forget who it is. He said that, now that we are married, it is enough to hate you. You see, the moment you've got the object of your desire, now the moha goes to something else which you've not got. Mind craves for what you do not have. And it starts flowing there. And when there is obstruction, the moha becomes much more in that. Much more in that. Much more in that. When you've got the object, when you've got all the objects, then you start getting bored. And out of boredom, another kind of madness comes. You understand? Out of boredom, people have to upside down hang to get the pleasure. You understand? Normally, you stand on your feet and you're getting pleasure. Now you're bored. So what do you do? Go to some place, hang upside down to get the pleasure. You create some nonsense, you understand?
Yeah.
All sorts of boredom. Boredom creates perversion. Are you with me? Because you have to somehow invent something to get that kick. Both are problems of extroversion. So, but here when he talks about moha, especially he talks about it after anger. It is very interesting. Why? Because when there is denial, when there is obstruction, then there is more moha in you to somehow get it. And in that moha, you will lose memory, you do not know what you are doing, you become like a drunkard. Moha has blindfolded you. You function like a person who has got his eyes closed. You will do anything. Normally you wouldn't have done it. But in that moha, you did it. All sorts of things people do. It comes, it gets reported in the newspaper and somebody is caught. So you think, oh my God, how can people function like that? You are also in danger. Because you also have desire somewhere. You have also exited your personality into the world somewhere. And in those areas you also have the same danger. And when you are caught in moha, you are not in a state of awareness. So you do not know what you are doing, what is right, what is wrong, what is the right direction, what is the wrong direction. And you in fact only ask advice also from wrong people. Because you want to listen to those who see you are right. See, when a person is in moha, he is actually not asking for advice. He is asking for
just approval.
So anybody who says, listen, you are going wrong. Vibhishan went and told Ravan. You understand? Vibhishan went and told Ravan. He didn't listen. Kumbhakaran goes and says, he didn't listen. So your friends will look to you as an enemy and enemies will look to you as friends. This is the problem. Later on he talks about tamasic intellect. He says in tamasic intellect, what is love looks as attachment. What is attachment looks as love. Perverted intellect. Who is your friend? You look at him as your enemy. All your enemies are friends because they are fanning your ego. They are approving whatever you want to do. Anybody who comes in the way, finish the guy. You understand? So basically when you are in delusion, everything is ulta for you. You don't see things clearly. Absolutely you are blindfolded. And when you function like that, your buddhi is gone. You are functioning like a person who is sleepwalking. Buddha is gone for a walk. Isn't it? And once you are sleepwalking and not awakened walking, what have you done? You've destroyed your life. Because now you have left yourself to chances. Anything can happen. And you do not know what's happening. You're just roaming around, lacking directions in life. So he says, everything started off with what? Vishaya Dhyana. Not Atma Dhyana. So when you are centered outside, the problem comes. When you are centered inside, no problem. It is not that, say for example, if I don't go out of my house, if I did not go in the car, I would not have met with an accident, you will say. It's not what he is talking like that. He's not talking like that. What he is saying is, even when you go in the car, if you were extroverted, then you are in trouble. If you were awake, then you are not in trouble. It's not the contact with the world. It is letting your mind transgress into the world. While contact, if you are with Atma, there is no problem. That's what he is going to talk about in 64. So here he is talking about your attention being drawn away by what you see. So before you start seeing things, you should develop the capacity to keep your attention within yourself. That is why we say, before you start living, you should learn how to live. Not after 60 you start reading Bhagavad Gita. But Bhagavad Gita is misunderstood to be something that studied after when you are 60. Isn't it? While you are young, you learn it and live it. So that your attention is not drawn away by what you see. And the more the denial, more the moha. See, they say no, familiarity breeds contempt. It's a fact. In a relationship also, if you have little space, then the relationship lasts for a while. If you become too close, it's gone. It's a fact. Familiarity breeds contempt. Attach you lose, detach you gain. When they become too lovey-dovey stuff, it lasts very, very less. When there is little space, then it lasts for a long time. It's as simple as that. But most of us in our relationships become too close. Find out, with anything that you become too close, you lose it. The other person starts, the moha stops. It's a fact. I'm telling you something which is very, very important in everybody's life, in anything, in any relationship. When you become too close, the delusion is gone. Not that you should keep the other person in delusion, but what I'm trying to tell you is the affection goes because you are available. You're all the time calling people and talking. Nobody is interested in talking to you. But if you give a gap, if you give a space, then that thing continues. So in a relationship to last long, regulation is very, very important. That is why in the name of rituals, in the name of tradition and all that, a regulation was brought. You understand? Even in eating food, Tuesdays you don't eat this, Wednesdays you don't eat this. Regulation, then you start enjoying. The more you indulge, you stop enjoying. Is it a fact or not? So the moment there is regulation, then the interest continues. So withdrawal contact. But that's not the way we do. We go on indulging. Then what happens is, not that we have risen about moha, not that we have risen about desire, we have burnt moha with reference to that object, but we have developed moha for something else. But with reference to that object, moha is finished. That is why, in any entertainment, they should make you feel as if you've not fully experienced it. Then you'll get that again and again. As a result, they are boring here. You go to this theme parks, some new things keep on coming. Right? You went to Disneyland last time, maybe it was Spider-Man. Now you go, it'll be Harry Potter. Now you go later on something else. So you say, I have not seen it. Same Disneyland, you keep on going again and again because new things. You understand? Delusion. That's how it is. The moment you have exposed it all, the delusion goes. That's a fact. So therefore he says, beware of anger, beware of denial. Then it comes, it rises as moha. And moha leads further to, and he says sammoha. I told you sammoha means you are in moha to such an extent that you are not even aware that you are in moha. That is moha. See, when a person is deluded, he doesn't even know that he is deluded. If he knows that he is deluded, to that extent he is not deluded. A madman doesn't know that he is mad. Does he? Swamiji gives a small interesting joke. He says, one fellow was recently got elected as MLA. Not many people knew about him. He also kept a very low profile. And he was a little genuine guy. So he didn't want to advertise himself too much. He wanted to concentrate on work. And as soon as he was elected as MLA, he was injected as Minister of Health. So he wanted to keep a low profile and go and check in all the hospitals and places whether everything is being taken care of. So he goes in disguise, not with that in that official car. He goes in his personal car and also gets dropped little far away and starts walking to the hospital. He's going to a mental asylum. There the security stops him. You're walking in as if you can go here. Who are you? Have you got any appointment? Why have you come here? Are you a patient? Or have you come to visit a patient? All that he was asking. He said, listen, I just want to go inside. Nothing like that. No, you can't go without prayer. There is a fight going on, you know. And then this minister is losing his patience, slowly. So he's saying, you know who I am? You know whom you are talking to? If I decide, you will lose your job. Hey, who are you, man? That guy doesn't know. What nonsense are you talking? I am doing my duty, okay? Now his ego is hurt. Now he is definitely not going to let him in. Right? Who do you think you are? Try, take my job away from me. I will show you who I am. You know, the fight goes on. The one fellow who was an inmate in the mental asylum had become alright, so they were releasing him that day. He was getting discharged. So he was coming out and the fight was going on. She said, hey, what happened? Security, what happened? She said, this guy? No, before that guy could come, this fellow lost his patience. So he said, you know, I'm the health minister of this country. And you're talking to a health minister. Beware. Health minister, big deal. What happened to you? Nonsense. You're talking health minister? As if I don't know who is the health minister. You know, it goes on like that. So this fellow is coming that time getting discharged. He says, what's the problem? Yes, this fellow is the health minister. So he quietly, this fellow who is getting discharged, goes and talks to the security. Admit him. Send him in. Admit him. Why? Exactly the same thing I said 5 years ago. See, in other words, when you are mad, you are not even aware that you are mad. That is some moha. And each one of us have something or the other desire. And we have moha there. And our thoughts are going there. And there will be obstacles. The very object could be obstacles. Like he says in the pineapple and the bee poem, remember, our dear delights are often such, exposed to view, not to touch. Because it belongs to somebody else. Ravana knew. But with hopeless wish, one looks and lingers. One breaks the glass and cuts his fingers, like Ravana. But they whom truth and wisdom lead can gather honey from a wheat. Verse 64 is the third line. 62 and 63 is the first and second line. With hopeless wish, one looks and lingers. Mentally, with hopeless wish, one looks and lingers. One breaks the glass and cuts his fingers. He goes against the law and breaks his knuckles, breaks himself. So this is how all that it started off is just as an innocuous thought. So if you can go inside you and deal with that innocuous thought, then you are saved. But if you allow, you fan it, you allow it, you made it desire, now it is very difficult. Like they say, when a cancer starts, if you found out, easier to deal with it. But when it has come to the third stage or something, it's very difficult. So this is the cancer that is inside. What is that? Thought going out into the world. So when you see an object, when you hear anything, you are drawn away. Vishaya dhyanam. Therefore, you need to have atma dhyanam. He talks about it in the next verse.
Raga dvesha viyuktaistu, raga dvesha viyuktaistu, vishayanindriyaischaran, atma vashyair videyatma, prasadam adigacchati, raga dvesha viyuktaistu, విషయానింద్రియైశ్చరన్ ఆత్మవశ్యైర్విధేయాత్మ ప్రసాదమధిగచ్చతి. రాగద్వేష,
రాగద్వేష మీన్స్ అట్రాక్షన్ అండ్ అవర్షన్, లైక్స్ అండ్ డిస్లైక్స్. బట్ ద సెల్ఫ్ కంట్రోల్డ్ మ్యాన్, ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ లైక్స్ అండ్ డిస్లైక్స్, మూవింగ్ అమంగ్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ విత్ ద సెన్సెస్ అండర్ కంట్రోల్, అటైన్స్ పీస్. సో వాట్ ఈస్ సేయింగ్, నాట్ నెసెసరీ దట్ యూ షుడ్ డిస్కనెక్ట్ ఫ్రమ్ ద వరల్డ్. వేర్ కెన్ యూ డిస్కనెక్ట్ అండ్ రన్ అవే? వేర్ ఎవర్ యూ రన్ యూ విల్ కెన్ రన్ ఓన్లీ విదిన్ ద వరల్డ్. నా లైక్ అ ఫెలో కెన్ రన్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ సిగరెట్ అండ్ హీ సేస్ లెట్ మీ గో టు హిమాలయాస్. ఆన్ ద వే అప్ వైల్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ ఇన్ ద బస్ హీ విల్ సీ విల్స్ మేడ్ ఫర్ ఈచ్ అదర్ అడ్వర్టైజ్మెంట్. వేర్ ఎవర్ యూ గో, అట్రాక్షన్స్ అండ్ అవర్షన్స్ విల్ బి దేర్, ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ విల్ బి దేర్, యూ కెనాట్ రన్ అవే. సో రన్నింగ్ అవే ఇస్ నాట్ అ సొల్యూషన్. The problem is not outside. The problem is letting your mind to run away with what your perceptions are. That's where the problem is. Perceptions are not the problem. People are not the problem. Mother-in-law is not the problem. You understand? Your enemies are not the problem. Your mind is the problem. This is what he is trying to say here. So, raga dvesha vyukta istu విషయాన్ ఇంద్రియైశ్చరన్ ఆత్మవశ్యై. పహలా ఇట్ వాస్ విషయవశ్యం, యు ఆర్ గోయింగ్ అట్రాక్టెడ్ టువర్డ్స్ ది విషయ. నౌ యు హావ్ టు బి ఆత్మవశ్య విదిన్ ఇంట్రోవర్టెడ్నెస్. ఆత్మవశ్యై విదేహ ఆత్మ ప్రసాదం అధిగచ్చతి. ప్రసాదం మీన్స్ వాట్? పీస్. When your thoughts run amok wildly towards the world, you lose your mental balance. When your thoughts are within yourself, you are composed. So he says, the self-controlled man, free from likes and dislikes. Free from likes and dislikes means what? Doesn't identify with it. He immediately distances himself from it. It is, likes and dislikes are there. There is nothing wrong with likes and dislikes. But the moment you identify with it, you are finished. You should not allow your thought to move away. You should keep it within your personality, within yourself. The moment you allow it to move away, like we saw 62 and 63, though it explains in steps, it all happens in a fraction of a second before you realize you've done it. When a person is in moha, he will fudge the accounts, he will usurp somebody else's throne, he will resort to all sorts of wrong means, and all wrong means will look to him as right means, all right means will look up to him as wrong things to do. And he is absolutely finished. So he says, be atmavashyam. One has to conquer oneself. Swami Vivekananda said, conquer the mind, you conquer the world. It's conquering the mind. Mind runs amok into the world. So he says, the self-controlled man, free from likes and dislikes. Vishayan indriyai charan. Chara means move, walk. Indriya ke beech mein he is walking. Means amongst the objects. He is not run away from the objects. But what he is doing, even though he is moving with the objects, amongst the objects, he has kept his thoughts inside focus, not outside. A lot of people are keeping their thoughts outside focus but not contacting the world. They are frustrated individuals, which he talks about in the next chapter. They look very spiritual to you from outside because they are not contacting you. Take away. You understand? They are denying their contacts. But inside, unka thought flow is going only towards that object. Secretly, there is a thought flow going on. Inside is a frustrated, repressed individual. You understand? But on the contrary, here what he is saying, you must be moving amongst the objects. He moves among his objects with his senses under control. So it is the lack of sense control, it is a lack of thought control that is creating the problem, not the world. See, Buddha was once, when he was sitting and meditating and under a tree in forest, there few arrogant young boys had brought a woman to molest her. And they were all drunk. And halfway through, as they were trying to molest her, because the alcohol was too much, they all went off to sleep. So what happened? The lady ran away. After some time, when they woke up, they didn't find the girl there. So they wanted to search her, and they were coming back. There was only one route, so they were coming back, and there they saw Buddha sleeping. Not sleeping really, sitting there. So they woke him up and said, "Did you see any girl moving this side?" He said, "I saw somebody moving, but I didn't know whether it was girl or a boy." Are you with me? And secondly, I certainly do not know whether it was beautiful or not. That is Buddha. We see and he sees totally different. He sees what is there and he moves. But we see and project our mind on it. The moment you project your mind on it, then the Sangha has happened. You should be able to go inside and come out without getting tainted by your experience. But does it happen to us like that? We are like Abhimanyu. We know how to enter. We don't even know how to come out of it. So, entering is easy. Like somebody asked from Vivekananda, "Is it okay to smoke?" He said, "By all means, please smoke, but if you know how to come out of it." Come out of it. Vivekananda is supposed to have smoked once in a while. But he came out of it whenever he wanted to come out of it. After smoking, experience is over, he's moved. But in our case, does it happen like that? See, the problem is, we go to some place, and when we come back, we may not come back with the object physically, but we come back with the object in our mind. Like we say in the class, food should be in the fridge or on your plate, not in your mind. It can be in your plate, but not in your mind. This is the problem. When, you know, whether it is food, alcohol or sex or whatever it is, when it becomes part of your mind, that's the problem. The center gets shifted. You understand? Everything, we keep it in the brain. Then the problem comes. So he says, control, self-controlled person keeps it atmavashya. When he keeps it atmavashya, he moves about. He gave the example of tortoise before, you remember. So he moves about with his thoughts resting in the self, which Swamiji calls as ending perception with perception. Meaning, before you start a contact, it is not your likes and dislikes that determines your contact. You may have a like, you may have a dislike for an object. But what determines your contact is not likes and dislikes, but your buddhi, but your discrimination. And having contacted, you move to the next experience, ending perception with perception. For that you should have buddhi. This is why you are told, first go develop your buddhi and then get into the world.
Buddhi, do you also mean vivek?
Yeah.
Vivek.
Discrimination. Where there is buddhi, there will be vivek. You see, you must first, when you shoot an arrow, you place the arrow on the bow, you draw the thread, that what do you call that rope, the thread, towards backwards, right? And then you release. So So first tapasya, first develop the buddhi, develop the awareness, discrimination, then you contact, then you will not be lost. But who has time for all that? One fellow went to a doctor. He went and sat in the lounge because so many patients are waiting. But his stomach problem was so much that he could not wait, you know. So he couldn't care less who is inside, nothing, he didn't care. He just opened the door and rushed inside. Before the nurse and everybody could catch him, he went inside. The doctor said, okay, looking at this fellow suffering so much, let him sit. After I finish this patient, I'll deal with him. So he was doing like that. So after he done with that patient, he called him, come and sit here. What's your problem? Oh my God, too much of stomachache. He said, okay. Then he diagnosed him. He said, you have overeaten. So he said, now put two fingers into your mouth and vomit. He said, if I had space for that, I would have taken two more bananas. So that much is eaten. You understand? In the sense, we have no time. That much you want to, you know. There is nobody, even a guy who is a well-wisher to you, who comes and speaks to you, you have no time for all that. You say, okay, when I am 60 or 70, you come. Now I have no time for all that. But what is he trying to tell you? Verse 64, chapter 2. He is not taking you away from your contact. He is just trying to tell you, like a mad fellow, deluded guy, you are running, man. Running. So he says, Atma Vashyai Vidai Atma. So when you contact an object, the contact should be determined by your intellect, not by your likes and dislikes per se. Because what you like may not necessarily be conducive for you, good for you. What you dislike may not necessarily be harmful to you. On the contrary, it may be good to you. So your likes and dislikes should not be. Let it be there. What are likes and dislikes?
What do you find pleasant, conducive,
what are they?
Agreeable?
My predetermined choices. My predetermined choices. So I have already determined as to what I will eat now. How I can decide how I will function now in the past. Now is a new day. It's a new beginning. I'm not fresh. I'm going there and living my life as a dead body, not as a fresh person. You understand? So, these predetermined choices are there in everybody. Everybody has certain likes and dislikes. But we should not allow them to influence our present. This is what he's saying. In the present, you take a fresh measurement. Remember George Bernard Shaw's quotation. And somebody asked him, who do you think is the most intelligent person on earth? He immediately said, my tailor, because he is the one who takes fresh measurements every time I go. So I may have predetermined choices. I may have my likes and dislikes. Raga dvesha. Everybody is a bundle of likes and dislikes. But in the present moment, present context, I must decide afresh. And having contacted, the experience is over. Now move to the next. Keep moving. This may be a little inauspicious example, but it conveys the point. So I use in the class. The advertisement for Johnny Walker says, Johnny Walker, keep walking.
Keep walking.
Keep walking. Do you understand what it means?
So the drink carrier, moving around, changing.
Anyway, don't discuss the advertisements now. It says, Johnny Walker, keep walking. Life is a flow. Please remember this. Life is a flow. The moment you stagnate, you are against life. Sin is nothing but going against life. Like that is why killing also is considered as sin. Why? Because you are taking away life. So what it means is, the moment you stagnate, what does cancer cell do? It goes on taking away all the nourishments and it swells. It breeds more. But it doesn't allow the nourishments to reach the healthy cells. and the healthy cells go on perishing. So in other words, at the cost of somebody else's growth, when I swell, when I accumulate, then I am committing a sin. So accumulation of wealth is a sin in that sense, because I am allowing myself to stagnate. I am not growing. Are you with me? Wealth is not a sin. Accumulating is a sin.
Not letting it flow.
Exactly. See, when a person, I don't want to get too much into it now, because we'll discuss it later on when we talk about sin and virtue and all that. But remember, any stagnation is sin. When water flows in a river, there is life, there is energy, there is freshness. When water gets stagnated, it gives foul smell, life perishes, it becomes dry, isn't it? So the relationship between husband and wife also should be promoting each other's growth. But if it is attachment, then you are also stagnating, you are stagnating the other person also. And that stagnation is sin. So in other words, wife should be somebody who helps the husband to grow towards Atma, not stagnate at her level. Husband should be the same to the wife. Allow his wife to grow towards Atma, not stagnate at his level. But what happens is, today, if you see the husband-wife relationship, each one possesses the other and tries to stagnate the other with reference to him or her. And that is a sin. And therefore, there will be foul smell in the relationship. This is simple as that. Anybody who promotes growth is life positive. Anybody who stagnates growth is life negative. So that is why, from that point of view, even mistake is not sin, but when you repeat it, it becomes sin. In spite of you thinking, you would commit mistake. Right? But having committed a mistake, if you were alert, you will not repeat it again. When Krishna moved from Vrindavan, he moved. He never came back. He doesn't visit the dead body. He is always alive, fresh. This is the point to be understood. So, So therefore, when you contact, the contact should be decided by the intellect. Having contacted, you move to the next experience. There is no more lingering. In our case, we keep on lingering. Even if the other person is not interested, you would call him and want to tell him what happened to you in Switzerland. And you even forget that you have told the guy twice already. He gets so bugged, my God, again she started. So in other words, this lingering goes on. Lingering creates the problem. See, what strengthens the vasanas is not the contact, it is the lingering. When you contacted something and you left it far behind, you've not strengthened it. But by constantly, repeatedly thinking about it, you've developed a thought flow now. You've strengthened it. So therefore, it is lingering in the past experience that has developed our vasanas, that we don't come out of it. So he says, contact it, move. But you know, when you are told this is good, this is bad, and you accepted it without thinking, without questioning, now you are having certain things as bad, but your mind is craving to do certain things that are bad. So you contact them with guilt. When you contact them with guilt, what happens after contacting also? I have committed a sin. So you are constantly thinking about it. You are bound to repeat it more and more. Because you are stuck by it. You are stuck with it. Please understand this. So when you have accepted good and bad without questioning, that is why I say you have to now start questioning your own beliefs. And anybody who says anything, you must question. Question means you must question within yourself. Not necessarily question to that person and create a problem. If that is needed, yes, you do it. But otherwise you question whatever he says or she says. Is it right or wrong? I'm not going to accept it without having questioned it. But having questioned it, I make my own decisions. And the fact that I have taken it after questioning doesn't mean that I will not question it again. What was right today need not necessarily be right tomorrow. The clothes that I wear today need not necessarily be the same thing that I should be wearing tomorrow. For tomorrow the weather may be totally different. Then I take a decision accordingly. How can I decide what will I wear tomorrow? What do you mean? If I have already decided what I am going to wear tomorrow, am I not fooling myself? Am I not taking wrong decisions? So, in other words, being ready and prepared all the time is what a Siddha Prajna does. He doesn't pre-decide. That doesn't mean he doesn't have principles. He has principles, but his principles centered and not principle bound. So he's a self-controlled man, moves about with the objects in the world. Means moves about in the world. So first of all, anybody who has got this understanding that Vedanta will take you away from contacting the world, please read these words again and again. Indriya charan means one who walks amongst the world, in the world. If somebody quotes Vedanta and runs away from the world, that means he has not understood Vedanta. As simple as that. Vedanta never will make you run away from the world. If anybody who is running away, don't take him as an example. He is a guy who has misunderstood Vedanta. It is easier to run away, but it is difficult to rise above. So a lot of us choose the easy methods, running away method. Rising above, difficult. Because when you run away, people will think, oh, he is risen above. But when you have risen above, people need not necessarily know that you have risen above. You need guts. So who cares for others' opinion will run away. Who doesn't care for others' opinion doesn't run away. Because if he has risen above, he will be with the objects like Krishna was with gopis. You understand? He never bothered. You write whatever you want about me. He is risen above. So he is not going to stay away. He will stay in, but he is risen above. Totally different from what our understandings are. So there is a lot of misunderstandings. So he says he cuts himself from likes and dislikes and contacts. And having contacted, he doesn't allow the likes and dislikes to breed further. By continuing to think about it again and again, we are strengthening our existing vasanas and developing new vasanas. This is the problem. So how do we fall? We fall by contacting without awareness and brooding over the contact after the contact without awareness. So what are you supposed to do? Bring the awareness while you contact. And having contacted, move to the next experience. Don't brood over. Then automatically the samsaric cycle starts getting broken away. So who is creating it? You are creating it by thinking it. You are constantly brooding over it and thereby you are strengthening it, says Lord Krishna. So if you want to get rid of vasanas, you must firstly understand how it was formed. Moksha, moksha, we say liberation, liberation. Liberation from anything. How did you firstly get bound, you should know, no? If you did not know how do you get bound, how are you going to free yourself? You have a small wound, let us say, on your feet. And as we are having discussion here, your one hand is going and going on scratching it. Right? Yeah, carry on. You are telling that guy to go on saying whatever he has to say, but you are going on scratching. Awareness was not there. Then, when the discussion was over, you see there is so much of damage, bleeding and all that. You say, my God, what have I done? So how did you damage yourself?
Unawareness.
Lack of awareness. So Abhi, what you have to do? With awareness you have to treat it. As simple as that. So you have to move into the world consciously to move out of it. To rise above it. You can't run away from it. A guy who is running away from it is condemned by it. One who runs away from the world is condemned by the world. Condemned means he's stuck. That's it. That's why when you deny your contacts, temporarily you may feel as if everything is going on fine. But what you are doing is you have pushed yourself so backwards, it's very difficult to rise again. Because you've put it deep into your subconscious. So he says, unconscious thought flow, indiscriminative thought flow creates vasanas. Now, discriminative thought flow, conscious thought flow cuts the vasanas. So you have to now start consciously living. So what is Vedanta? Vedanta is nothing but conscious living. It injects more life into your life. It doesn't make you run away. So what are the two things we learnt here? Atmavashyai Vidheyatma means contacting with awareness, contacting with discrimination, and after contact with intellect, not brooding over. Move to the next experience. Keep on moving. Here I would like to quote what Einstein said. Einstein said, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep balance, one must keep moving. Life is like riding a bicycle. To keep balance, one must keep moving. So whenever you feel you are losing balance, remember somewhere you are getting stagnated. Anybody who finds his life not so balanced, that means he is stagnating somewhere. He is not moving. Verse number 65.
Prasadhe sarva dukkhanam, prasadhe sarva dukkhanam, hamirasyo pachayate, hamirasyo pachayate, prasanna chetaso hyashuhu, prasanna chetaso hyashuhu, buddhiparyavatishtate, buddhiparyavatishtate, prasadhe sarva dukkhanam, hamirasyo pachayate, prasanna chetaso hyashuhu, buddhiparyavatishtate.
So when a person uses his discrimination and contacts and uses his discrimination and moves about, he gets prasad. Prasad means peace of mind, a calmness, a serenity. And he says, prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyopachayate. In peace, all his sorrows are destroyed. In peace, all his sorrows are destroyed. The moment a person turns introvert from being extroverted, all his problems are gone. All problems come only because you are extroverted. Extroverted means your mind is going out into the world to find happiness. The more extroverted you are, more sorrows you will have. The moment you have turned your mind from outside to inside, all problems are. There is no sorrow whatsoever. So he says, prasade, in prasad, in that peace, all sorrows are destroyed. Prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyopa jhayate. Prasanna chetaso yashuhu buddhi paryavatishtate. The intellect of the tranquil minded soon becomes steady. Soon becomes steady means what? Deep inside, the buddhi is buddhi. But a extroverted person's mind is covered the buddhi. when that extraversion goes, the covering goes, then the buddhi becomes steady. This is what we need to understand. Everybody is essentially divine and pure inside. But because of his extroverted thought flow, there is a lot of smoke. And that smoke is covering the light within as it were. It's not actually covering. It is covering as it were. When that extroversion is removed, the covering is removed, then the buddhi becomes steady and clear. This is why we say it is education, means you are eking it out, drawing it out. There is nothing to be given from outside. You are already wisdom personified. When the true education happens, unlearning happens. When unlearning happens, you become light. Already you are light. Please understand this. It is not stuffing, it is unlearning. But today in many education systems, it has become stuffing. Isn't it? You stuff and stuff and stuff. In fact, in the name of education, more covering is happening. You are well informed, but you have lost your awareness. In this whole portion, Lord Krishna talks about intellect, awareness, discrimination, which is the sign of an evolved person. A sign of a person who is ignorant and deluded, who doesn't have intellect, who doesn't have awareness. So in prasad, in peace, all dukkhas are gone. See, what is happiness? We think happiness is achieving the object of our desire. Isn't it? The moment I have a desire, I have unhappiness. I have unhappiness. Meaning I have a desire to get that car or that house or that person or that object, whatever it might be. So unhappiness is there. The moment I get that object, I am happy. This is what we think now. So in other words, when desire is fulfilled, we get happiness. But what is happening is, when desire gets fulfilled, simultaneously we are developing more and more desires for that object. Now that I have got that object, now I have another desire, that object should remain with me forever. And that not only that object should remain with me forever, and that object should retain the enjoyment that wanting to be with me all the time. That is not sure. You want to marry somebody. Until you got married to that person, you are unhappy. Having married, now you think you'll be happy? Now the problem starts. What? You want that person to be always with you, not just physically, but mentally also. But that, no guarantee for that. So in other words, what happens is, desire. You are developing more desire as you have contacted the object. So on one hand, you are fulfilling a desire. On the other hand, simultaneously, you are increasing the desire. So the happiness you get is only a fraction. This is brought about in a simple formula, in a simple ratio. Happiness is equal to number of desires fulfilled to the ratio of number of desires entertained. So when your thoughts run extrovertedly, if you fulfill your desires, you fulfilled one desire, but you have increased 10 more. So a happiness quotient is what? 1 by 10. 1 by 10 is? 1/10 is your happiness fraction. So much effort to get the object of your desire, but since your thoughts were running extrovertedly towards it, you have simultaneously produced 1,000 more desires for it. So what has happened? 1/1,000 is your happiness fraction. Excuse me. Supposing you fulfill the desire objectively, consciously, you go about, not running after it like a mad fellow. So you are contacting it and not developing further vasanas. So what has happened? Numerator has increased by 1, denominator has become 0 or decreased. When denominator decreases and numerator increases, happiness quotient is more. when denominator becomes 0, 1 by 0 or 10 by 0 is?
0.
0? Anything divided by 0 is? Infinite, not 0. Anything divided by 0 is? Infinite. So how do you experience infinite happiness? By being aware while you contact. But today, that's not how it happens. And once you have experienced it infinitely, then you move. The fact that you are stuck with any experience means you have not experienced it fully. You have not known it fully. There are still secrets remaining there. As long as you feel there are still secrets remaining there, you would still be stuck by it. Think about it. Therefore, when you are with an object, be with it totally. So, prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyo pajayate. All dukkhas are gone. It is not as though only one dukkha is gone. All dukkhas are gone with reference to that level. Thereafter, any other things at that level, he knows it's of no use. Because he knows anything sensory, this is the maximum. There is nothing more. So you say, no, thank you. What is there in it? To see. It is the same masala in a different dabba. Once you have understood the masala, you are not bothered about the dabbas, no? Are you? If you are, please don't tell us. Basically, what you are interested is the masala. So once you have understood the masala, oh, this is okay, leave it. New dabbas mein aayenge, no problem. A guy who has not got that idea about the new dabba tricks him. Think about it. So new things doesn't trick him anymore. So prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyo pajayat. So you are already tranquil. Not that you are not tranquil. See, tranquil minded does not mean that you are now not so tranquil. You can be made tranquil. You cannot be made tranquil if you are not essentially tranquil. Are you with me or not? You can be coated with tranquility, but that will be sooner or later exposed. Like a couple, the wife had this temper, you know. She will lose temper any minute. So the husband prayed to her, see, my very important guests are coming, right? So they will be here from morning 10 o'clock till 1 o'clock. So please behave properly. So she said, okay, from 10 o'clock till 1 o'clock, I will behave properly. This was the condition. So she said, okay, right? But the guest was not going. So from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, she is very polite and all that. It's going on fine. And the guest was not going from 1 o'clock. And she was not that insensitive. She knew, okay, they'll be going in half an hour maybe. So she waited till 2, they were not going. And it was becoming too much for her to be something other than what she is normally. See, this is the problem, you know, when guests overstay, you get tension. Why? Because when the guests are there, you are not yourself. So one of the reasons why people get stressed is because they are not themselves. Essentially. So if you are essentially polite, it has got nothing to do with guests coming and going. You will always be alert. So when he says the intellect of the tranquil minded soon becomes steady, means what? It has always been tranquil minded. It has always been tranquil. You are always tranquil. Otherwise, can you make him tranquil? How is it possible? It can only be temporary. Sugar coated quinine tablets are given to deceive the child. The child puts it in the mouth temporarily, and slowly they will, you understand? After a while, the truth will expose itself. You cannot make something what it is not. You can remove something that it which is not and make it remain what it is. So you are already tranquil. This is the point to be understood in these words. Soon becomes steady means what? Yellow. the moment you have turned inside, you will start seeing the light within. And a guy who has seen the light inside, he has seen the masala in that example. And thereafter nothing will tempt him anymore, for his thoughts to run towards the world outside. It is only those who have not seen it, they will get excited. So if you are established, there is no question of going back again. If you are going back, which means that you have still not got established. So you are already tranquil. You are already steady. If you are not steady, no Upanishads, no Bible, no Quran can make you steady. This is the point to be understood. Inside you are already pure. Nobody can make you pure if you are not essentially pure. Any amount of quoting given by Upanishads, any amount of quoting given by Bible, Quran, it will all go. So it is not conditioning, it is deconditioning. A lot of us get conditioned by all this, and that conditioned things will go sooner or later. So he says, in peace all his sorrows are destroyed, because there is no sorrow, it is imagination.
Self-created,
it is imagination, dreaming. In the dream, you are thinking you are a bachelor, but you are already married. Usually married people dream like that. I wish I was a bachelor. And the bachelor is dreaming that he is married. Usually that's the case. So when you are in dream, you are already married, but you are thinking you are a bachelor. Like that it is, you know. This is a dream. Your thoughts are running after the world. Therefore there is shoka, there is actual. So you are thinking, I am in difficulty, nobody is caring for me, and you want weak pity from others. And somebody comes and says, how are you, get well soon, you are very happy forever. And when you get well, there is no more get well soon coming, so therefore you fall sick again, because you want get well soon. You see, in other words, what you need to understand is, essentially there is no problem, there is no sorrow. Because you do not know your essential nature, and when your thoughts were running outside, when it exited through the senses, then the sorrow came. So what are you doing? You are trying to remove the object of the sorrow. Then you are trying to bring in something else. But you have not seen the self within. Therefore, the sorrow will continue in some form or the other. What are we doing? We are trying to find solutions outside. By removing the upholstery and changing it, or changing the very sofa itself. By these methods, we are trying to beat our sorrow. By these methods, your sorrow will not go. Sorrow will reappear in some other form. This is what is happening. In our case, sorrow is continuously reappearing in some other form or the other. If you have the cancer potentially in you, even though you removed it from your body, it will reappear. Yes or no? So it is not just removing it from the body, it is removing it essentially from you that is important. Symptoms can be removed, but it will surface again. If you apply the the ointment, symptoms will go. But the bacteria is there inside your system, therefore it will reappear. So you need to work within you. There is nothing to work outside. This is what he is trying to say here. In peace, all sorrows are destroyed. All sorrows are destroyed means sorrow, essentially it is not true. It is a fake. If it was true, essentially it cannot be destroyed. When anything is its true nature, it cannot be destroyed. Whatever is destroyed is not the true nature. Remember, this is what we discussed in the beginning of the second chapter. That which is unreal is not real. Real is not unreal. All that verse you remember? Nasato vidyate bhavaha, na bhavo vidyate sataha, bhayorapi drishtontaha, tvanayos tattva darshipi. Very, very important verse. I think it is 16th verse of chapter 2. If you want, you can go and read it once again. Yeah. The unreal has no existence. Unreal has no existence. The real never ceases to be. The truth about both these indeed has been seen by the seers of the truth. So they see sorrow as unreal. For them sorrow is not real. In reality there is no sorrow. Narad Muni is supposed to have asked Lord Krishna, Lord Narayana, Mahavishnu once, what is samsara? What is samsara? He said, forget about samsara and all that. I am very thirsty now. Go get me a glass of water. So he had gone to the nearby place to drink some water. And there he saw a beautiful damsel. Then he got involved with her. He got married. He got kids, grandchildren. Everything went on. And afterwards he was in so much of sorrow, you know, in samsaric cycle. So he said, oh Narayana, please help me from sorrow. Remove my sorrow. He said, forget about sorrow and everything. Where is my water? In other words, essentially speaking, there is no samsara. There is no sorrow. Sorrow is a superficial thing that has come because of your extroversion, because your mind running after the object, not you contacting the object. When you contact the object, if your mind was rushing to the object, then when your mind has become attached to the object, then there is sorrow. And that the extroversion is removed, all sorrows are gone, because in essence it is not real. In essence there is no sorrow. There is only tranquility. And then once you have gone to that tranquility, once you have found out your essential nature, you are steady. Give a break. Yeah. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamidavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.